Now, your host, Michael Cohen, with a Capital City Recap on more compelling talk radio, 1320 WILS.
6:34, Michael Cohen with producer Desi Simmons as we move through another episode of the Capital City Recap. So with the high murder and arson rates last year, Detroit is now set to cut 200 police officers and firefighters, all in an effort to avoid the appointment of an emergency financial manager. But is that the only option, and is it the right option? To talk about that, I'm joined by Detroit Free Press reporter Steve Neveling, who's been following that story. Steve, welcome to the program.
Appreciate it.
Oh, excellent. Now, you know, Detroit's population, as we all know, has been on the decline. Some might argue that it makes sense to cut these police and fire positions. Do these cuts make sense considering the smaller population base in the city?
Well, let me put it this way. Detroit is in a very serious fiscal crisis right now, and there's very little it can do. It's the kind of crisis that's going to require painful cuts. You're going to see buses are going to be slower. There's going to be fewer police and firefighters. Assets like Hart Plaza and Belle Isle could close and be privatized. Rec centers will likely close. Parks won't be mowed. So you have to decide what you're going to cut. And, you know, Mayor Bing's administration for the past 2 years has decided that they're not going to go after the budget of the police and fire department for the very reason you're saying. There's a towering rate of arson and murder in the city. But there is some good news that the 100 police officers may get their jobs back under a grant. So that's what a lot of people are hoping.
And this kind of a cut, does it really save that much money for the city?
Well, it doesn't. I mean, it saves a little bit. I mean, you're talking about, maybe $24, $25 million. But, you know, the city's got a 12, you know, if you put that into perspective, the city's got a $12 billion, $12 billion in debt. Its annual budget is $1.2 billion.
How hopeless are things now? I know there's a state review team that's going to review the finances of the city. I mean, is that likely to move the ball forward somehow?
Yeah, I think it's going to be very difficult for the city to dodge an emergency manager. The problem has been, you know, an unwillingness by elected officials to confront the reality that the city has been shrinking since the 1950s. Instead of cutting, they've borrowed and borrowed and borrowed, and essentially what you have is $12 billion in debt, which the city cannot afford. And to put that in the perspective, the city pays about $600 million a year just to make its debt payments. That's half of the city's budget that could have been used to pay for police, firefighters, and other vital services. So, you know, the threat of an emergency manager is very real, and it's because the elected officials who have been in office have decided that they were going to borrow instead of make the cuts that were needed in order to accommodate the shrinking tax base and shrinking population.
So in terms of layoffs, the city, I know, issued about 1,000 or so layoff notices. Are those kinds of layoffs going to proceed?
Yeah, they are. There's going to likely be more of them. So there's going to be 1,000, and those employees are probably going to be gone in February. And then you're going to be looking at whether or not the unions make deep concessions in health care and pension benefits. And if they don't, you could see half of the city's workforce gone.
And in fact, this, more than $100 million in annual concessions, I think the city officials want the unions to make. Is that happening? Are the steps being taken to make those concessions or not at all?
Well, you can say that both sides are really trying hard to come up with some kind of solution, but the mayor's been very adamant that they need the $100 million a year in concessions, and the unions aren't willing to go that far. Some of the bigger issues are the pension and health care benefit changes. So it's difficult to say. I mean, the big question facing the unions is, are you going to agree to these concessions that is going to take a little bit from your retirement and it's going to take quite a bit from your health care so that you avoid an emergency manager, or do you want an emergency manager come in who has the authority to cut as many employees as he wants or she wants, and would also have the authority to open those union contracts?
I'm talking to Detroit Free Press reporter Steve Neveling about the situation in Detroit. What is the timeline then for a manager coming in? Could that happen in the next month or so?
Yeah, absolutely. The team was just appointed about 2 weeks ago, and they have 60 days to come up with a recommendation to the governor about whether or not there should be an emergency manager. But in Flint, for example, it took only about 3 or 4 weeks for the team to say that Flint was in a serious fiscal crisis and needed an emergency manager. So it could be in 30 days we could see an emergency manager in Detroit without a doubt.
And well, it sounds like it's basically inevitable. So all these proposals and the layoff notices and so on, I mean, once an emergency financial manager steps in, won't they rearrange the whole all the options that are currently being considered?
Yeah, definitely. And I think you're going to see a lot deeper cuts. You're going to see the unions are going to be making the unions are going to take considerable concessions on forced concessions on health care and pension benefits. Things that a lot of Detroiters really love, like Hart Plaza, Belle Isle, they could close. All the assets the city owns could be closed. There's right now the problem has been that the current mayor and the current council have not made the sufficient amount of cuts needed. In fact, the last budget they spent $100 million more than they actually had coming in. So it continues every year for 10 years. The council and the mayor has spent $100 million more than the city actually had. So an emergency manager is likely to come in and make very deep cuts, because the cuts that are being proposed right now are really insufficient.
Well, it sounds like nobody wants to be the bad guy here, and they'd rather have an emergency financial manager come in, perhaps, and do that rather than doing that themselves. I know David Bing said he thinks he himself might be a good emergency financial manager. Is there any idea of who that person might be?
You know, there's been speculation, but there's nothing been firm. We've been looking into several possibilities, but haven't been able to determine who it would be. We do know that it would be very unlikely that Mayor Bing would be the emergency manager. The governor is looking at potentially some different candidates, including the emergency manager who was overlooking Benton Harbor, and he did quite a good job. It's Joe Harris, and he's managed to put Benton Harbor, which had an enormous deficit, back into the black again.
Is this whole process likely to make Detroit a more dangerous and a less attractive city to visit or live in?
Yeah, I think it is, and that's really what is difficult here, because you have to decide, how are we going to grow as a city if we keep having to shrink and the roads, you're going to see you're likely to see an increase in violence. You're going to see slower fire response times. Nobody wants to live like that. But the problem is, it needs to be done. It needs to be done quickly, so that anyone who is thinking of leaving will see a budget that is intact, that is in the black, and that can serve them in the immediate future and in for the long term.
Now, I know Detroit officials said that the state owes the city hundreds of millions of dollars, and there's been a sentiment that state officials are not doing enough to help soften the blow of what the city's now going through. Is that, in fact, the case? Does it feel in Detroit that the state has, in a way, turned its back on helping the city maybe not have to make such deep cuts?
Yeah, I think that's very fair. In Lansing, you don't have a lot of pro-Detroiters, so anytime something involves Detroit, legislators are very reluctant to even deal with it. In fact, when the city was about to lose its ability to get gaming taxes and income taxes, the state legislature almost stopped the city from being able to do that, and that would have been devastating. The city would have been shut down immediately. Hundreds of millions of dollars there.
I mean, when you go into Detroit, there is the museum, but the casinos do appear to be kind of the main focal points of tourism, let's say, or visitors. Is that likely then to kind of remain in place? The casinos are going to be the survivors as maybe other parts of the city crumble?
Well, that's possible, but you also have to consider that Ohio's going to soon have some. There's going to be some competition from Ohio with casinos too. So, casinos revenue seems to be going up right now, but there's the long-term forecast is that it's going to go back down as the economy is still stagnant and people have more options for casinos.
Well, it sounds like some tough times ahead for the Motor City. We'll see how things turn out with this review team. Detroit Free Press reporter Steve Neveling, thank you very much for joining me and talking about the situation there.
Hey, my pleasure. Thanks for having me.